Well, I want us to look at John 17. John 17. Now, this is Jesus' prayer, the longest prayer we have recorded of Jesus speaking to the Father. And we could divide this prayer in three sections. Jesus prayed for himself in verses 1 through 5, and then his 11 disciples, verses 6 through 19, and he prayed for his bride. That's all believers in the future and after this point. And so we're going to look at this prayer. It sounds like everybody's there. So John 17, we're really going to see the heart of God in this chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This is the hour. This is the crucial time they knew was coming. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, the Father gave all the Old Testament believers to the Son so he could keep them. So he's going to pray concerning two things. The joy he anticipates entering into the glory he experienced before the foundations of the world. And what is going to be done with the ones the Father has given him. Look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, if you know the Son, you know the Father. And if you know the Son, you know the Father, you know the Son. And he has sent all Christians. We have all been sent. The Great Commission has been given. The mandate, the mandatory thing is to get the gospel out. The death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ is the gospel. Amen. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Do others think that you believe God is wonderful? Do they see you glorifying God? I ask myself that question. I want people to see me glorifying, worshiping, praising God. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he wants to return back to that throne where he experienced glory. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words. You might want to circle that word right there. Words, plural. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, I don't usually talk about this issue, about the different versions of the Bible in English, but this is right here in the text. I'm not wandering from the text here. He's talking about the words of God. How important is it that we have the words of God? Do we have the very words of God in your hands right there? Amen. Or are we just kind of guessing some of it's true and some of it, I can't really trust? We have the very words of God right here. Amen. We can trust every single word. I even trust the cover, Holy Bible. Amen. Do you understand that the different versions of English, there are thousands of differences in these other versions. We're not talking about just taking out the these and the thous and making it more common language. Huge differences. You should do the study yourself. I challenge you to do the study yourself. And I'm glad we have the very words of God, because salvation is a big issue. It is the biggest issue. Where are you going to spend all eternity? But not only that, I mean marriage. Oh my goodness. One of the second biggest decision that I know of after salvation, the biggest decision after salvation is who are you going to marry? How can you know who you should marry? All kinds of issues, relationships, family, parenting. And God gives us His words, instructions on how we can do this. I lost my place. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You know, that should make us feel very special and precious that we are His. It makes us feel very loved. We all want to feel special. Anna said I could use this in my sermon, so... I asked you, didn't I? Are you still okay with that? Okay. She got this advertisement working online. You ever seen lots of those advertisements working online, working from home? And they were making her feel really special. And she liked that. And we all do. Don't we? We like to feel loved. But she has no experience. She has not graduated from high school yet. She will this year, but... next year. We want to feel special, but sometimes people are just trying to flatter us, right? And that's what was going on there. It wasn't sincere, making her feel special. So let's move on here to verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. We know who that son of perdition is. That's Judas Iscariot. Been better that he'd not been born. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Think of the joy Jesus had. Wow, we can have that joy. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So he didn't take us out of the world. He allowed us to stay in the world. He could have taken us to heaven as soon as we got saved. This world, it tests us. It's a testing ground for Christians. We can become stronger or weaker in the decisions we make. We can build, and give me some little freedom here, like spiritual muscles, so to speak. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is how we get sanctified, is through his truth, through the word of God. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Are we being obedient to where God is sending us? God is sending you each day to be a blessing to your neighbors, your family, your co-workers. He's sending you. Are we being obedient? I believe God will send more missionaries if we just be more obedient. We could have real revival if we were being more obedient, allowing Him to work in our lives and send us wherever He wants to send us. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So now he's not only praying for the 11 now, he's praying for the believers to come. Amen. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So this is proof to the world that the Father has sent the Son of God. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So the oneness comes in manifesting the glory of God in our lives. There again, are we glorifying God in our lives? I love when we go to the wilds. We try to go to the wilds in every furlough. And they have this verse that we say at every meal. And how's it go? I should know. Whatsoever you eat. Do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I just froze up there. Sorry about that. You ever have a brain cramp? You're just like, I had it there. We did it. We do it like we spent a whole week there. Each furlough we come back and we just, it's a great refuge. Get away from devices and things and just getting focused on God and His Word and spend time with family. We just love it up there. How many of you have ever been up there? The wilds? Oh, man. You should go up there. That zip line is amazing, isn't it? Wow. Let me go on here. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Wow. So when the world sees the glory in them, they will know that I love them. Have you ever felt the love of God? How did you respond to the love of God? Some people are lost and they feel the love of God, but they don't respond correctly. They either put the decision off saying, maybe I'll get around to that later. Or they just say no. If God is dealing with your heart and you feel the love of God dealing with your heart, don't put it off anymore. Amen. Say yes. Say yes, I believe. Let's move on here to verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So, he says, which thou hast given me. We are a special love gift to God. We are that bride. I'm looking for that marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says that they may behold my glory. We're going to come back to that. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So what do we find? What do we find him concerned about in his prayers here, in this prayer? That we would be with him. That's his greatest desire, that we be with him. Like I said, this is God's desire. We see the heart of God here, and he wants us to be with him in heaven. You know, I can imagine Christians debating about a certain issue, like something about eschatology, something that's going to happen in the future, and it's not really clear to us exactly what's going to happen in the future. And I can imagine Jesus listening to this debate and Christians asking, what's important here? What's really important in this issue? And Jesus would be like, that you be with me. That's what's really important. You know, about the trumpets and everything, what's really important in that issue? Jesus would say, that you be with me. I want you to be with me in heaven. You know, we think of loved ones that have gone on to heaven. I've got a grandmother up there. My dad's up there. And we think, wow, love to be with them. And I think times I've tried to describe what heaven is like with words, and it's, when I get there, I'll be ashamed. My pathetic attempts in trying to describe what heaven's like. Do you know why? Because God's there. And it's, our words are just not enough to describe God and being in His presence. Oh, I love when His manifest presence shows up. What is the primary reason He wants us in heaven? Verse 24 told us why. That they may behold, what is it? My glory. Read verse 26 again. Just the last part here. It talks about His love here. He says that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them. So the Father's love would be in us. Why is that? He wants us to experience His presence. Not only that, He wants us to share that love with others. The Father sent the Son on a great mission. The greatest missionary sent to this earth to give the gospel, give Himself. He is the gospel, the good news. There are, what, about 7 billion people on this earth? There are billions of people that never heard the gospel one single time. What are we doing to get the gospel out? Could we be doing more? I think the obvious answer is I think we all could do more. It's a huge task, but God can work through us. We could encourage missionaries more. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but I wonder if there's a lot of missionaries like me that rarely ever get a message from other Christians supporting churches. I get yours all the time, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. But maybe you could do more to just send an encouraging word to the missionaries. Just a quick message. I know we're all busy. Just a quick, I'm praying for you. Appreciate what you're doing. Pray for us. You know, you could say, hey, we got some things going on here in America. We could use some prayers here too. Maybe get a dialogue going. I've talked to pastors and they want to do more to get more involved with missionaries. We need to encourage one another, amen? Amen. This world is not encouraging out here, but we need to encourage one another, amen. Lift each other up, and continue on. Because we all, at some point, usually, I don't know of any Christian that's never been discouraged. I went through it. Before Sully got saved, I was like, what in the world is going on? We're giving people the gospel. We're praying for these people. I don't know what else to do, God. You're going to have to do the work. I can't draw people to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to be obedient and give them the message. And we need more laborers in Egypt. Please pray for more laborers in Egypt. More laborers in America, around the world. I know this is about a missions conference, and maybe most of you, many of you are already doing that, but we all need to be doing that. We need to have this love of God that wants to reach out to people so He can be glorified. You know, when we traveled deputation, I talked about how I love the people in Egypt when we made a visit for a week, and we did fall in love with the people of Egypt. It's just, I love God a lot more. It's about Him getting glory. It's not about me getting glory. I love Him so much, and I know you do too. So turn over to Romans chapter 5. I'm almost done here. Acts, Romans. We're talking about the love of God here. I'm not really going away from my text here. Romans chapter 5. Some people are still turning. It's a chance for me to take a drink. Not an alcoholic drink. Just water. So we're going to look at Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's love is shed abroad. Not was, is shed abroad in our hearts. So like I said, we will love God with the same love the Father has for the Son. And we need to, you know, there's the commandment in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. We need to get our affection set on God. That God love people through us. Amen? Well, I appreciate your listening here. I appreciate you allowing me to preach to you. And we appreciate your prayers so much, your support. Wow. I mean, they really are precious to us. That's what God got us through, some tough times. My daughter's talking about, she'll share her testimony, how God brought her through a tough time there. And my wife, I'm sure, she's had to deal with me, so she's had a really tough time. And we just appreciate y'all so much. We love y'all. We're praying for y'all. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor, however you want to do an invitation. Father, we thank you so much for your love, demonstrating your love on the cross. And we have your love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we want that love to go out to the world. We want your words to go out to the world. We ask that you draw lost sinners to yourself and help us to be obedient where you send us and be an encouragement to one another, that you get glory through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.